Being a mom is hard. Being a business owner and a mom is even harder. So we love to talk shop together, whether that's what we're planning to have for dinner in our homes or what we're planning for next quarter in our content calendars.
But most of all, we love to hear the stories of other moms who have built their businesses and brands. We've dreamed of becoming business besties with some of our favorite business owners online, and we are going to use this podcast to do exactly that.
Come for the stories behind how moms built their businesses, aka the business banter. Then stay for the laughter and candid conversations, aka the bestie banter.
This is the Bestie Business Banter Podcast.
We are here. I'm already crying laughing, and we are just now getting started. So let's see where this goes.
It's been chaotic. It's been a chaotic 30-minute start, but we're going to get more efficient at this. You'd think that neither of us had our own podcasts with how we've approached this.
We have. So we are old pros. So let's just get into it. Tell them who we are as individuals before we get into the meat of what we're doing, why we're doing a podcast, who it's for, all that good stuff. Tell them who you are.
Okay, let's tell them who we are. So I'm Rebecca Joyner. I am a mom of three. They're almost five, three, and almost one. Boy, girl, boy. I like to say that I am a work from home mom from everywhere mom. I am a former high school science teacher turned curriculum writer, and my business is called It's Not Rocket Science. And so I have an Instagram and, you know, website for all of that. But I also have this secondary Instagram account that I just run for fun, and it's called The Momfluencer. And I started it because I'm very easily influenced by real influencers to buy things. And so that account is where I just kind of share my influenced purchases. I kind of share behind the scenes, unfiltered life. And now it's also where I will be sharing about this podcast. So that's who I am. Let's tell listeners who you are.
Yeah, I'm excited to tell them too, like how all of those things tie together here in a second. I'm Lauren Tingle. I am a former high school counselor. I was a high school counselor in a pretty large public high school for about 10 years. And now I'm turned full-time mom and full-time business owner. I don't know how many hours in a day constitute full-time, but I'm doing both of those full-time. And my business is called Counselor Click. I create resources for high school counselors. I also run a membership and have my own podcast called High School Counseling Conversations. And you, like you mentioned, already have a podcast as well.
Right. And we're going to tell more of like our business journey in the next couple episodes. But just for now, we just want to give you a synopsis of who we are just for context. And because this is the bestie business banter, I love alliteration, but that's going to like, I'm going to ruin that every time.
Okay. We don't even know the name of our own podcast.
I know. We don't even know the name. But because we're besties and we're business owners, and let's start though. We were besties first. So how we met, let's tell the people.
Yeah. We first met when a lot of people told us we should be best friends.
Yeah. So 2012, I guess it was.
I was graduating from grad school. You were graduating from undergrad. We were both looking for roommates here in Greenville, South Carolina. That's where I am coming to you from. And I don't even remember where we met the first time, at Clemson graduation.
I genuinely think that's where it was. So yeah, that whole spring semester, I just was like telling people I was moving to Greenville, looking for roommates. People were like, you need to meet this girl, Lauren. Y'all would be best friends. So I genuinely think our first meeting was at graduation. We took a picture together. We'll post that on the Momfluencer so you can see that throwback. And yeah, I feel like it was love at first sight for our friendship.
Was. And I'm pretty sure I knew your now husband, Thomas, before I ever knew you.
Yeah, you probably did. And so we moved in together. We were roommates. And then that summer, you ended up getting a counseling job at the school where I had just gotten my first teaching job. So then we ended up being coworkers. And then we also decided to start a Young Life team at that high school we were both leading at or working at. So then we started a Young Life team together. So we were co-Young Life leaders.
We literally did everything together.
And then I moved across the state for my husband's job, and that's when we became long business best friends. And then I started my business in 2016. And how long did it take for me to convince you to start yours?
I don't know. We were roommates when you started it. I kind of feel like you
no,
were.
No, I wasn't. I didn't start it till I moved here, 2016.
Oh, wow. And then I was 2017, Ellie was born, and I maybe had one resource up. Like, I didn't do anything on maternity leave with that. And then, like, knowing myself now, it's, like, really hard not to work on maternity leave. Mm-hmm. And so I definitely did not have a business during that point in time. So I would say, like, 2018 is when mine really kicked off.
Okay, so your business is about 5 years old. Mine is about 7 years old. So that's how we met. And then I feel like when you, so when my oldest was born, T, we adopted him. So that was 5 years ago. That's when I started, I left the classroom full time and I started doing this business full time as you can, being a full time mom. And then you didn't leave till your second was born.
Right. So I didn't even say that. I have two girls. One is 5 and a half. So just a little bit older than your oldest. And then my second is about 2 and a half. And I decided to leave the school when it was spring 2020. So COVID times, I was pregnant. We can get into this another time, but I've had really rough pregnancies where it's absolutely unbearable. I'm throwing up all the time. So
you have the worst pregnancies.
The worst. And with my second, when I was pregnant with her at home, older toddler watching Frozen 2. I still have PTSD from that soundtrack, just hearing it play while I'm in Zoom meetings. I just did not feel like I was a good counselor or a mom at that point in time. And I thought, if we go into the fall and don't have daycare and I have a newborn and a toddler at home, like I'm not going to be able to keep doing this. Mm-mm. And we don't have family in town. I did not have an option to send them to family, or the daycare was saying that they didn't have a second spot. So I never imagined that I would be home with kids. And then it felt like a really big risk to go all in on the business, but I'm really excited that I did. And like you said, we'll get into more of our individual businesses in future episodes, but that's kind of how I moved from the school, I was going to say the classroom, from school into my home business.
And I feel like our business conversation as best friends, I mean, we've always been talking all the time, texting, voice memoing, et cetera, as best friends, but I feel like the business part of our conversation really kicked off when you started staying home too. Because before that, when you were counseling full-time and then you were working on your business at night, which is what I was doing in the beginning too, but I would be like texting you all day long while I was working. And then
right. I'm counseling a student right now. I'm holding a suicide assessment and I can't talk about your email marketing.
But then you would start working at like 9 p.m. and when I was going to bed. And then I would wake up and you had blown me up all night long while you were working.
On different schedules. Yeah.
Because we were on such different schedules. So now it's been very sweet to see how our stories have like now become parallel again. And we're like in the trenches together. We're in the trenches with little kids, with temper tantrums, with balancing, you know, business and mom life, and then also running these businesses. And so that's why we're doing this, I would say, is like, several reasons. One is because we've always thought our conversations, other people might want to hear them because we're funny.
We are funny.
We learn so much from each other, I feel like, the ideas we bounce off. And then I feel like, too, the second thing is the other kind of joke you and I have always had, which I'll let listeners in on, is we both like fangirl hard over some people that we have fallen in love with on the internet. Some moms that have their businesses and we just think they're killing it. And we've always joked that we wish we could have a mastermind with them, like have this group that we meet with and we share business ideas and share, you know, hear their stories and all that. And we realize, you know, that's very unrealistic because we're not quite on the same level as them fan-wise, but also just because we are all moms and business owners. And so actually like meeting for a mastermind would be
nearly impossible.
Nearly impossible. So we were like, what if we just start a podcast and we try to interview all these business owners that we love and hear their stories and you just hear how they've done it. And I feel like it's beneficial to hear whether you're a business owner or not, because hopefully we're going to get some of these people that we all know and love on the podcast.
Yeah. And maybe listeners will know and love them as well. I think they will. I think the people that you and I know and love from the internet, our listeners will also feel the exact same way. And I just nerd out over talking business, talking shop with people. I want to know, you know, what email service provider you use and, you know, what your launch strategy is. I love all of those things. I love to hear how someone's business started and was built. And I'm just so curious at some of these moms, like you said, who are killing it online and have used this either influence or use social media to build something from the ground up that didn't exist before. I just think it's so interesting and I can't wait to talk to them.
Agreed. And I also want to be their best friends. So I also like, I want to hear about their launch strategy, but I also like want to hear what they're currently making their kids for lunch. And you know, what's a memory they have from their time as like a millennial growing up that they'll never forget that was iconic for them? Like, I want to have fun conversations with them too. And so that's what we would say. Like, this podcast is, it's for moms, it's for business owners, but really it's for anyone who wants to hear kind of like how I built this type stories from, I don't know if I love the word mompreneur, but entrepreneurs who are also mothers. And, you know, it's, we want this to be fun. We want you to laugh when you listen to this. Like, we want, and I think another thing too is you have been such a cheerleader for me in my business. And I would hope that I've done the same for you. And like,
definitely.
I want to cheer on the people we bring on. Like, I know, like, we've talked about each of the person that we've put on our, like, people we want to interview list.
Like, do you think Sarah Blakely from Spanx is coming on this podcast? Probably next week when she hears this one.
Dream big. You know, we can't stop. But like, I want to tell the people we interview, this is why we love you. And like, we're proud of you and what you're doing. And you're killing it. Like, your brand is so specific. Like, okay, I'll just throw this name out there. One of the people I want to interview is, I want to interview Kelly, the car mom. And here's why I want to listen to it. Kelly, if you're out there, if you're listening to this, I want to interview you. Because listen, I could not care less about cars. I remember when you told me, you were like, you need to follow Kelly. And I was like, I don't care about cars. And you were like, listen.
And you were like, and I said, I don't either, but she makes me care about cars.
But you're married to like a guy who works for BMW. So you have more of a transitive property caring about cars than I have no connection to caring about cars. But you are so right.
You're a minivan mom.
I am a minivan mom and I'm very proud of it.
And you're passionate about it. Yeah, you're passionate about those sliding doors and sliding
No chairs. Shame in my cup holder sliding door game, okay? But I want to tell Kelly, her brand is so good and she's done, I'm so proud of her. And she's done such a good job that she can make someone like me who doesn't care about cars want to follow her because I like her. I love the brand she's built and I will listen to her talk about cars. And so that's the kind of energy we want to bring on here. We want to encourage, we want to lift people up who are killing them in their sphere. We want to feel relatable. And even if you're not a mom and you're not a business owner, we still want you to come and laugh with us and like enjoy our conversations. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes. Can I tell people what this podcast is not? Yes. What you cannot expect to get out of this? Okay. We are not mom boss energy.
No, I hate that.
Girl boss, mom boss, have it on a mug, have it on a branded t-shirt. Like that's not what we're doing here.
That's not us. This is not hustle culture. We have hustled. No. We've hustled. We had to in the early days, but like we're not trying to do that now.
But like when 10 p.m. hits, like I know you're asleep already. I am falling asleep or scrolling or trying to read a book or something. So we're not hustle culture. We're not teaching you how to be an entrepreneur or a mompreneur. Like we're not doing some how-to stuff. Mm-mm. We are interviewing people who already have businesses, successful businesses, and we just want to hear how they got to where they are, what their business is like, what life is like in their current season as they're, you know, scaling and launching and all the things. I want to hear about the business stuff and like what makes it tick and what goes on behind there.
Absolutely. And I want to hear, like you've said, I mean, parenting changes constantly because of how your kids, their ages change. So like, I want to hear, okay, how does your business look different now that maybe you have elementary age kids versus when you had babies versus before you even had kids? Like, I just think there's so much we can learn from each other. And yeah, I'm just like ready for the stories. This is like story time energy.
Yes. And we have so many questions. Like I won't be able to ask all the questions to all the guests because when I just threw down some questions in a Google Doc, I was like, oh, wow, I probably have like 50 questions per person. And then probably more specific ones depending on who it is. Because, you know, we follow them. We know who their kids are and how old their kids are and stuff. Like I already feel like we're friends. I just want to invite them into a space so like they know that we're friends.
Exactly. Like we need some FaceTime with them. Like face to face, we're interviewing. Like if you want to share your cell phone number with me after this, I'd be fine with it.
I was but,
like,
just no going to say, I'm not asking you to like join our voice memos, but like if you like, want if you to, I'm not going to say no.
Exactly. That's where we're at. Okay. So, and then the way we're going to structure this is half the podcast will be bestie banter. And we have some different like segments that we've brainstormed over the last few months that we'll talk through and we'll kind of go through those today. And then the other half will be the business banter where we'll get our guests to share their stories and all that. But they will be a part, hopefully, of the bestie banter as well. Like we want to hear their thoughts in these different segments too. So,
and then when they leave, they're going to be like, no, like we are besties. Exactly. And then we also like can follow up and have more mastermind conversations about business. We'll do it all right here.
100%. Like my vision is like by the end of this year, we're on a mastermind retreat. We're going on vacation and we're writing it off our taxes with all the people we interview. I mean,
long-term goals, if we're long-term just going to like speak them into existence. Yeah, it's that.
That's the goals. Okay. So for the sake of this first episode, we're just going to do some bestie banter and we're going to talk through some examples of the different segments we want to do each week so you can get a feel for it and see how much you're going to love this podcast or not. So first segment, we're going to have probably every episode, because we're never going to run out of ideas for this, is blood boilers.
Like the thing that makes your blood boil over, your blood pressure goes up when you think about it. Mm. You just makes you rage. And I think we're going to find some commonalities here between moms and business owners.
Literally, like, my heart rate has increased. I'm probably about to get an Apple Watch notification of increased heart rate, just seeing our note about what we're talking about. So why don't you just tell them, what is our very first blood boiler that we both agreed on is killing us this week?
Right. We did not have two bullet points here or anything, because we both feel so passionately about this blood boiler. It is preschool Valentine's parties.
Why, Lord? Why?
Here is why. I think that maybe at like the K-4, if you're like 4 or 5 years old, you might remember that you had a pizza party, which I will say, my children eat like birds and they don't eat pizza. So I was like, I'm still sending a regular lunch. So I'm going to feel bad. I'm not contributing like the $3 to $5 for the pizza, because my child will not eat it. She asked specifically if I could request breadsticks from a specific pizza place in our area to have a pizza party. I was like, no, absolutely, that's not how this works. Okay. But the younger, like 2-year-olds, K-2, half day preschool program, can we just stack hands and say, we're not doing this? We don't need extra trinkets, extra trash coming home.
Oh, I hate a trinket.
I have to pry Smarties out of my 2-year-old's hands, because she's going to choke on that. Who sent Smarties home? I hope they're not listening. But like, why are we sending home choking hazards or trash? Let's stack hands and just not do it.
Okay, listen to me. Here's my other thing that you didn't even mention is, why are we doing Valentine's parties for kids that can't write their own name yet? Because you know who had to sit there and fold the origami Valentines and then put my kids' names on them? Mom did. There was like 50 kids between my two kids' classes that I had to write and assemble all of these for. And I'm like, can my Valentine be you're getting nothing? But I don't want to rob my kids of the joy. Like, they were so excited, but I hated every second. I'm having to do all the work. They can't, like, when they are old enough to write their own names and assemble the cards, fine.
And I just have limited mom energy right now. And so I would rather put the minimal energy I have into making it special for my family around my kitchen table with a special breakfast or a lunch or a little chocolate that I've picked out for my child. I don't need to spend money and do that for other people's children. Like, I know we're all in the same boat. Why are we doing this? And then for the teachers, like, that would be really hard for a teacher to corral children around, like hand out the Valentines that have names on them. They can't read them. So the teachers are just doing all of it. Mm-hmm. You cannot tell me as a preschool teacher that you enjoy this. So let's just everybody stack hands and say, we're not doing this anymore.
Agreed. And I mean, my kids have had stomach aches since Tuesday. Like, we're still recovering physically from the trash that they ate at school. And like, it's just the worst. And like you said, like, it takes away from like the, I love making a holiday special. Like, I am here for special holidays, but like the preschool Valentine really puts me over the edge.
It does. I have had to hide those bags of candy because they're overflowing. It's like Halloween.
Listen,
I have just had to hide them.
I literally, when they went down for rest time, I went through their bags and like, I pulled out everything that was terrible that I was like, I can't, like you said, the choking hazards. Like, I've got a crawler at home. I can't have some of these little like Lego, build your own Lego thing. Like, we can't do Legos yet. And when they woke up, they were like, wait, where's some of our stuff? And I was like, I don't know where it is.
Like that, bye. That reel that was like the kids, mom going to look for the toys that the kids are like looking for, like in the trash. Yeah.
It's like the Titanic song. Yes. Yeah. That's where we were at.
I'm looking. I don't know where they are. That's so weird that we haven't seen them in a while. Trash.
Literally trash. And I've learned, like, my kids will dig through the trash. So I have to put it like in a trash bag and then take the trash out because they know my role, like what I do. Okay. So that's a blood boiler for this week. Now let's just follow that. Let's like bring it back. Let's do 30-second therapy.
Because listen, I'm going to calm myself back down because I am heated right now.
Exactly.
So tell them what 30-second therapy, like, what is this segment about?
Okay. Both of us are in therapy. We both love our counselors. We think everyone should be in therapy of some sort. So we're just going to share like maybe something we've been learning in therapy or a word of advice or encouragement maybe we've heard from a friend, maybe a mindset or perspective shift that's happened with us recently, just kind of anything that we are learning and growing in and that's changing us. And it's just kind of basically the opposite of a blood boiler. That's what this is.
Yeah. So we'll calm ourselves back down. I think this was my suggestion, right? This, mm-hmm. this one that we have for today. I said feelings are not forever. Mm-hmm. And I think this came from, I don't even remember the situation I was in when I was feeling this or that this was, you know, resonating with me, but I am an Enneagram 7 and I don't like feeling feelings. And so I think for me, it's helpful to take a feeling, think on it, feel it for a little bit, and know I don't have to feel it for forever. I want to avoid painful situations, whether it's obviously physical pain, I don't want that, but you know, emotional pain that I'm stepping into. Feelings are not forever. They will not last forever. If I'm sad, it won't be forever. Usually I can coach myself in and out of that real quickly, but I think that it is just a helpful mantra to say to myself, because even if I'm stressed, even if I, you know, my kids are driving me up the wall, like I'm not going to feel like that forever. I know that there will be seasons that will come and go. So I got to preach that to myself regularly.
I love that. And as you know, I could call myself the internet's biology teacher if I really wanted to, but I don't think I can really claim that title yet. But as the resident biology teacher on this podcast, I'll say too, like a feeling physiologically is your brain's like automatic response to something that you experience. And basically your brain's response is based on different neurological wirings that have happened in your past, like maybe traumas you've experienced or whatever. So like you're feeling something and responding to something because of how your brain is wired. And knowing that like those pathways can be changed, like you said, like you don't have to feel this way every time, but just being curious about it too, I think is helpful. That's something my therapist is always telling me, like, hey, be curious about why you feel that way. Like, why did that trigger you so much to feel like you are enraged right now? And then also knowing, like you said, like my feelings can change. I don't have to always, it's not like a permanent thing. It's so true.
Yeah. And then if you're calling yourself our resident biologist, I am the resident counselor of this podcast.
You are.
So
you are.
By trade. So I will always have something to share here for us. Even if it's not related to us personally or that we haven't been through, I'm sure I could have a little snippet of something for the listeners to pull on.
So get excited for that. We've got a resident counselor on the pod. Okay. So next is one of my favorite things. And I don't know, like you're the one who introduced this to me. And I don't know, did you get this from Lazy Genius or where did you get this? Okay.
Yes. She is my favorite. Kendra Adachi changed my life this past year. And I know that you were a little skeptical getting into the Lazy Genius because you thought these are very simple ideas and how could they change your already very structured life? You already have a lot of routines and rhythms. Yes. I do not. That's why Kendra changed my life. So she always does an episode, maybe quarterly, of what's saving my life right now. And I love it. I'm one to always share something that's saving my life right now. Like if I like something, I'm telling everybody that I encounter. So this is kind of my spot to share a lifesaver, a thing that is changing, rocking my life right now.
And quarterly is not enough for us. So that's why we're going to do it every episode. So tell me right now, what's a lifesaver for you right now?
So a friend gave me a free HelloFresh box. And I thought, was I influenced by all of the marketing everywhere? Probably. I've seen it everywhere. I listened to the Popcast podcast and it was one of their ads this week. I was like, are y'all in my brain? Are you listening to me? Because HelloFresh saved my life last week. So much so that I enjoyed the free box and I signed on for another week.
We
are living on a budget over here right now. We're balling on a budget, but I thought this is worth it for the free space it's giving my brain. And I actually had some really delicious meals. So, you know, it says it takes 10 minutes to make. That's a lie. It took about, maybe each of them took about 30 minutes, but it was relaxing in the making dinner. I like really enjoyed not using brain space to have to defrost the chicken for it, or I didn't have to do anything. I just had to show up and make the delicious dinner.
I love that for you. I love it. Okay, so what's saving my life right now is something I do a lot in the summer, but I don't know why I've like put it in my brain that it's a summer thing because it can be an everytime thing, and that is snack lunch. And so if you're listening and you follow the Momfluencer, you've seen – I literally have a highlight because I've been talking about snack lunch for years. Years. I got this Tupperware. It's like a travel Tupperware for like – it would look like something where you'd go to like a Super Bowl party and there'd be like a dip and then – you know, veggies around it. It looks like that, but it's travel. And I literally just fill it with like snacks and fruit. And then my kids get an indoor picnic with it for lunch. So I'll put down a blanket on the floor. They get to eat on the floor. They think I am the coolest, most fun mom ever. And it's so easy for me. It's like such an easy, quick win where like I know you and I have talked about this, but need to make it vocal for everyone listening. Like, I feel like as a mom, I'm constantly like saying no and having to like draw the line and like get everyone in the car. And like, I'm just not fun. Like, dads are fun. I feel like I'm not fun as mom. And so it's such a nice, easy way for me to be fun. My kids love it. It's so easy. It's especially great on like, I grocery shop on Thursdays and Fridays. So to a Wednesday, Thursday, when you have like scraps left in your fridge and pantry, to throw together a snack lunch, put it on the floor, your kids will think, you know, you're amazing. And it kind of cleans out your fridge too.
Snack lunch. You get to make yourself, you get to make yourself the hero of your own story is what I'm hearing you say.
Hero.
Yeah, and I don't even really change up what we're eating all that much in our snack lunches. It's just the presentation in a muffin tin. They just go wild for it.
Oh, yes. You can do a muffin tin too. I saw that Naptime Kitchen was the first one I saw doing the muffin tin. And that's great too. I feel like, especially like if you have really small amounts of things that you're trying to get rid of, because a muffin, you know, is very small.
It's awesome. And we've been doing it inside too, especially when it's colder. So just throw down a little picnic blanket, a little towel or something and let them go.
That's what I'm saying. Indoor kitchen, indoor picnic. They think it's like the most hysterical, amazing thing ever. Okay. Next segment we're going to introduce y'all to is little luxuries. Why don't you tell them what a little luxury is?
So this is like something that maybe you feel a little bougie introducing to a stranger, but you know that it's worth it, whether it's the cost or the time that you've invested in it. It's worth it because it changes the outcome of your day, perhaps. We have a lot of things that we have valued or that we have pegged as valuable, whether it's something you're wearing, something you're eating, something you're drinking, and we would love to share those with you. So tell us what your little luxury is right now.
Okay, my little luxury right now is my husband for Christmas got me a milk frother. Now listen to me right now. I'm not talking about like the handheld thing that you put in your coffee mug, okay? And then you like press the button and it whisks it all. It's like a cylinder and you pour the creamer in it and then it has a lid and then you turn it on and it heats and froths your creamer. And it is such a game changer. I feel like it just takes like a very, you know, C+ cup of coffee and makes it an A+ cup of coffee. Like I just feel like, and the fact that it's hot, it keeps, then your coffee cup stays hot longer because you're putting in hot cream. And it just like, I just am enjoying it. Like, I mean, it's, we're recording this in February. And so it's been probably almost 2 months since I got it. And I'm still like every day, like just so tickled when I'm frothing my cream and then I pour it in. I'm just like, oh, I just love this. Like, I feel like this is so fancy. I just love it so, so much.
It is. And mine along the same lines is around coffee. We got a fancy coffee maker gifted to us at Christmas. We would have never spent our own money on this. We already had like a coffee maker that we enjoyed. We both actually really enjoy having coffee at home just because you can make it exactly how you want. Mm-hmm. When I go to Starbucks around the corner from my house, there's always a long line. The drink never tastes the same two times in a row. So maybe
and
that's a blood
like
boiler.
$7.
Right, right. So we always make our coffee at home anyway. Have a milk frother. Love it. But this is a really fancy coffee maker that, like I said, do we need to get on TikTok so we can like find Breville coffee tips or something? Mm-hmm. Like, are we becoming baristas? I think that we have a refined taste now. Like, you put the whole beans in the coffee maker and it grinds them and does all the things. But when we have had to put regular, already ground coffee in there because we've run out of beans or something, I'm like, I think I can taste a difference. Is my palate that refined? I think so. I mean, since December, it's been 2 months and I have a refined coffee palate. I don't even want to go out to a local coffee shop. It's not even about the money anymore. It's about the taste. I am a coffee snob.
You are a coffee snob. See, I'm more like, if I could have coffee intravenously, I would. Like, I'm totally. Just like, give me, like, I'll even take the gas station coffee, but you're right. It is, and that's where it's a perk. What you're saying though, it's a little luxury. It's like, is this a necessity in life to have a fancy coffee maker or a milk frother? Absolutely not. But like, as moms who are like in the trenches, wiping cracks several times a day, because none of our kids can wipe their own booties yet, like, it's just nice to have a little luxury to start off your day. You know what I mean?
And can I brag on another little luxury about this? I have only made it myself a couple times. So I act like I'm not going to make it like really well. It's like you make like one cup, basically. You have like one serving of your coffee that you're making. And so every morning, my husband makes it for me and it's sitting on my nightstand in a Yeti, like hot and ready to go.
Curtis is
I wake up. He is. That's what I'm saying. That little luxury. I mean, he enjoys making it and stuff. And I'm just like, it's not going to be as good. Can you make it for me, please? Help me out.
Your, You at coffee is me at the grill. Thomas and I have been together. We're about to celebrate our 10-year anniversary. He has tried to teach me how to grill for 10 years, and I'm 100% confident I could learn how to do it. But I'm like, I don't need to.
Why would I need to fill my brain with that? Where am I ever going to find myself at a grill?
Well, and that's where I'm like, I would love just to not learn how to do this so I never have to do. Like, this is your thing. You're the one who grills. And if you're not in town, I'm just going to make not a casserole grill. Or a crock pot, or we're going to Chick-fil-A. Like, I'm not grilling. And so I love that for you. I love that you're not learning the fancy coffee maker.
And like I said, I will say, I think I could survive. He made a video for me, I think, on like how to do it. Like, I was like, I need you to record this and show me. Oh no, that was with our last coffee maker.
He made you an SOP.
Yes, a standard operating procedure on how to use the coffee maker.
For all of our business owners.
Yes, our other one had like kicked the dust right before Christmas. We had really just gotten a new one pretty recently, and he was going out of town. And I was like, I'm going to need coffee. Please show me how to work this thing. So I feel the same about our new one, and I absolutely love it.
I love it. Okay, next segment is unpopular opinions. So literally just anything that like the majority of people would agree on, but you kind of feel differently about. And after episodes, I will post a poll on the Momfluencer stories because I would love to hear like, do you agree with this? Do you disagree kind of where you're at? And so this is something I saw on some influencer's thing the other day.
Showed this to you and we haven't talked about our opinions on this.
Okay.
But shared like something went viral on TikTok, I think.
Yes.
Again, let's just say for the record, neither of us are on TikTok. We get our TikToks like over on Instagram. Like when things become funny.
As true millennials, that's how we experience TikTok.
Right. So this apparently went viral somewhere about wearing pajamas multiple nights in a row. Is it okay or is it not?
Okay, here's my thing. I think it's fine. And I'm so happy for those of you who can do that. But my postpartum sweat experience does not give me the luxury of rewearing pajamas. Like,
you even think now, not even like immediately postpartum, currently.
No, I would still say now. And maybe it's because I live in the low country of South Carolina where like we're at 80% humidity even in the winter.
But you have air conditioning in your house, right?
We have air conditioning in our house, but like I'm a sweaty sleeper. I don't know what to say. I will say today I woke up and my pajamas were not sweaty, so I did put them back in my pajama drawer. I could rewear them. But I will say probably 5 out of 7 nights a week, I've sweat too much. And I think it's because I have chaotic energy and I have crazy dreams. I mean, my dreams are even crazier when I'm pregnant, but even not pregnant, I have wild dreams. Sometimes I wake up and it's like, did I even rest? Because that dream was so crazy. And so I'm just a sweaty sleeper. There's a lot going on. I can't rewear pajamas. I'm sorry. But I'm fine for people who do.
Can I also highlight or pick apart something else you just mentioned in there?
Yeah.
That you take those pajamas and you put them back in your drawer. Like, are you going to remember that you wore them already?
Okay, listen to me right now. I'm about to fight you like I will fight my husband Thomas on this. If you take clothes off your body and they're not dirty enough to need to be washed, like you could rewear them, don't just set them on top of the hamper or on top of the chair in our bedroom.
But they go on a chair. Everybody has a chair.
Stop it. Get rid of the chair. Put it back where it belongs. If it's too dirty to hang it up or put it back in the drawer, then it should go in the hamper.
No, but I need to remember that I've worn it once.
No, like,
it has like a tally mark next to it.
If
I wore it a second time, then it's going in the hamper.
This is an unpopular opinion I will fight you about, okay? I'm like, it has two okay, so I'm an Enneagram 1. If you're listening and you hate the Enneagram, like, I'm sorry, but it's changed my life.
And we're so different that it's going to come up a lot.
We are so different. So what's funny with ones and sevens is ones in health go to seven. So I like thrive on vacation. Like I am Lauren when I'm on vacation, but sevens in stress go to one. So when Lauren's stressed, she starts making Excel spreadsheets like me and it's hysterical.
And they're not organized though. Don't get any wrong ideas.
Make a spreadsheet, but then I'm like worried about you also. And then the other funny thing is your husband is a one and my husband's a seven. So we both are in a 1-7 marriage, which is just kind of funny. But I will say I do struggle as a one. Everything is black and white to me. One of my goals this year is to live more in the gray. But that's where I feel about these clothes, black or white. It has two options, laundry or it's back in the place where it should be hung or folded. There should not be this intermediate chair.
Okay, so we are complete opposites on this opinion, which I'm so glad it's our first one. I will wear my pajamas, 4 days, 5 days, a while.
What?
They are lake pajamas, and so when I wash them, they have to lay flat to dry because they are, what's that called?
What's Pima cotton. I throw mine in the dryer. I do.
And
I'm washing them every week because I'm sweating so much.
Well, I do, and this could be a little luxury that we come back to another time. I do have three pairs of like pajamas.
Yes,
and
save it for another episode. We can go on. That is a little luxury.
But I have all sorts of other, you know, PJs too. But I shower. I'm a nighttime shower, so I know when I'm getting in the PJs, I'm clean. And so I just feel like I'm clean every time I'm wearing them. They don't stink. I do not sweat in my sleep. So my pajamas, well, I will admit, they're right there on the ground. But if I'm doing it right, they go like under my pillow. That's like always something like my mom had us do like when we were little.
Under your pillow?
Yeah. So you know where they are. They're out of sight, but like you're going to wear them again. So they go under your pillow.
Wow.
We're very different on this.
I'm surprised. But I'm just happy for the content, the controversial content we're putting out right now that people can have their opinions on.
Right. And I'm really glad we had not even talked about it before because I didn't even realize how different we were.
I know. Also, I just want you to relish the fact that you are not a sweaty sleeper. Like, good for you. That is a little luxury.
I was postpartum, but I guess it just like disappeared.
Not for me. Okay. Next segment is top three. This could be anything, just any topic. And we'll just say top three things. We can kind of do this one quick. Super Bowl just happened. Top three Super Bowl tailgate foods. Like if you go to a Super Bowl party, you're like, yes, these things are here. Mine would be chili dip. Like I always make this. It's like cream cheese, layer of cream cheese, Hormel canned, no bean chili. Sounds gross.
Meat in a can.
Don't knock it till you tried it. And then shredded sharp cheddar. You bake it till it melts. Eat it with Frito scoops. So good.
Yeah, that sounds love so that. Good.
I love wings at any time. But like if I go to a Super Bowl party and there's wings, I'm like, let's go. This year we did not have them at our Super Bowl party, but my husband is he loves a new hobby. And one of his new hobbies is smoking things. And he smoked some ribs and they were insane.
But not insane enough to make your top three.
I would just say like, you know, some sort of, yes, I wish there had been wings, but they were so good. I will say I was angry at him because he was outside for like 7 hours that day.
But you know what? You could have been out there grilling too, but you don't know how to grill.
Could have been out there, but it's not the grill. It's the smoker. I don't want to learn any of it. But I will say I looked him in the eye after I ate that rib and I said, I'm glad you were out there for 7 hours. And I'm sorry I was rude to you all day about you not helping me prep for our party because you were smoking things.
Because it was worth it, you're saying.
It was.
So you were like really coming to your senses and saying, yes. I'm so sorry about that.
I know. So I apologize. I repented. Okay. So chili dip, some sort of smoked meat, wings. Now ribs are on my plate. I love that. And then also mozz sticks. I love a good mozzarella stick. Just deep fried cheese of any kind. I'm here for it.
Okay. We could maybe go off on a tangent about this, but I just need to know if your childhood experience around mozzarella sticks was always like choking on the cheese. Did that happen to you when you were little?
No, it was more like taking a bite and it being like magma scalding and burning my throat.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I feel like I choke on mozzarella cheese a lot.
Okay. So sorry for you.
Side tangent. I love them now. Okay. I only put nachos on there. I mean, that's like if I'm hosting people at my house, like make a giant tray and like the most
chicken or
nachos
beef
you can make. I mean, I like both. I'm not against either one. If I've like done chicken in the crock pot ready to throw on there, mm-hmm. great. That's like a little easier to do than mm-hmm. beef. Not that beef takes longer than 5 minutes, but so nachos was really my only one. I'll eat any of those things. Those all sound delicious. I will also say for our top three category, we might have a bottom three sometimes too. Like ooh, it's top or bottom.
Point. Love it.
I'll also pause here to mention we're 42 minutes into this. I don't know, you know, after we edit some things, but we've done a lot of categories. We're really putting out all of the categories right now. We'll have different ones each week and we'll right. have a little bit of the bestie banter and then more of the business banter. Right.
We won't have 8 segments every week. We just wanted to introduce you to them so that when we jump into one in a future episode, you have context for it. So yeah, that's a great point. I'm glad you said that. Okay. Why don't you introduce them to our next segment? Because this might be my favorite one.
Yeah, we are going to talk about millennial memories because I'm willing to bet a lot of people listening to this have shared a lot of our same memories in years past. Like you're living the same life we are right now or parallel lives. And so some of these millennial memories that we're going to talk about are just going to unlock like a vault of things that you've forgotten about from the past. So first we want to talk about iconic outfits. When you think back to your high school days, what stands out to you as the outfit that you thought you looked so good in?
Listen, I did look so good in it. Okay. So let me tell you, I had one Hollister shirt, one. And I thought it was like the hottest shirt ever. It was a short sleeve brown shirt. And I don't know if y'all remember Hollister, but the the width of the shirts were like 6 inches wide, but then they were like 40 inches long. Like,
so like a long tank that long like came skinny, down to like past your hips.
Yes. They were made for like rail thin people, but very stretchy. So I had this brown shirt, and I don't know if you remember too, like in the Hollister, Abercrombie, American Eagle days, like it was all about having the brand on the shirt, and then it would be like a graphic tee. So it was some sort of like Hollister surf graphic, but it was hot pink, and then there were pink rhinestones on it. So it was brown and pink, and then I would wear a long white cami underneath it, and then I would pair it. I had this low-rise pair of gray, like wider leg cargo pants. I believe they were like from Limited Too, because I didn't hit puberty until like senior year. So I was so tiny, I couldn't even fit into like Abercrombie jeans.
Right. Abercrombie and kids. Like I wore kids for a while.
But they had like pink on the cargo pants. So I just thought like the hot pink in my brown top mixed with the pink accents in my gray cargo pants. I just thought I looked so good. And I definitely wore this outfit once a week. And I'm just like, I'm like, what was my mom thinking every day as I put it on? Was she like, oh, bless, you know?
I mean, she was like, this is the style now, and it'll circle back again in 2023. They will never even know what hit them.
They won't know what hit them. All right, tell me your iconic outfit.
Okay, when you were saying that, I thought, you know, I remember what I wore the first day of school in ninth grade, because I had come from wearing uniforms my whole life. And so when I got to public school in ninth grade, the world was my oyster. I went shopping at Abercrombie, went shopping at Hollister before. Like, I had to get some outfits that I look good in.
Right.
I also was like rail thin, like very skinny legs. I didn't fit into anything that was probably like actually popular. So I also like didn't, I, they were strict on dress code. So I didn't want to wear like too many like skirts and stuff, but I did have a few skirts. I will say something that's coming to mind right now that feels very of this era is a double popped collar. Two collared shirts with the pop collars, and mine was definitely from Abercrombie. It was pink, the one on the outside. Mm. You know, if I saved some like babysitting money, I had a white Lacoste shirt too. Those things are so expensive. Why? And they were that like stretchy material too, that like would fit my left bicep right now. Like that, no, it would not fit. And then I had a, so pop the collars, both of them. And then I had a, a pearl necklace that was like, the pearls were bigger than my eyeballs, like all the way around my neck.
And then did it have a ribbon in the back?
Ribbon! Yes, it had a ribbon in the back. Yeah, but like, you know, but still, so it was very classy, a very tasteful outfit. I didn't wear earrings because I didn't get my ears pierced until I was 18. So I didn't have like earrings to go with it. Yeah, fun fact.
Okay, that's a story for another day.
And that, and then I would wear, I had a jean skirt, like an Abercrombie jean skirt, of course, with that. And I'm sure it had like frays and rips and stuff. But I remember thinking, even when I went to college, like there was, it was like into freshman year of college, like then jean skirts were done. And now I have seen jean skirts back, and I'm like, what are we doing? What?
They're back.
We're doing jean skirts again?
We're doing it. Hey, I will take a jean skirt over a low-rise pant any day.
Totally, totally. I also wore like platform Doc Marten sandals. I think that's like my shoe of choice if I was being really cool and fancy. And
mine were my low-rise Converses, but we called them Chuck Taylors at the time.
Right. They're still called Chucks.
I know, but like, I feel like, yeah, it was like your Chucks. But then like, I feel like in the last 10 years, it's been like the high-rise ones. Kind of more of like the grunge look, but it was low-rise at the time. That was what was in. I think I was a little bit more of like an angsty high schooler than you were. Like, maybe. I would say I did not have
other
the
outfits
necklace.
Were like, my other outfits were, I had a different, I could be anyone on any given day. I had band t-shirts. As we all were, right?
Right. You hadn't met the Lord or your therapist yet. So there's a lot of sanctification that has happened.
And it showed through the outfits I was wearing. Yeah. Like sometimes I would just, I was always wearing rainbow flip-flops too. Can we like have a moment of silence for rainbow flip-flops? Like, does a company still exist anymore? I wore those things until they had holes in them. And my mom was like, you need to throw these out.
Honestly, they made too quality of a product that you could wear them for like 8 years and they never worn out. So you never had to buy a new pair.
No repeat customers because you just wore them for forever.
Let's get a status check on rainbow flip-flops after this. Okay, last two segments we want to introduce to you. One is your mom fail of the week. And this is not to be like Debbie Downers, but more just to like humanize us and just be relatable, and you feel better about yourself if you're listening, because like we all have made poor choices. And my poor choice of this week goes back to the Valentine party. My kids each came home with like four different thing of bubbles. And one hard thing for us right now is I do have a baby. So I am feeding him a bottle before everyone goes down for rest time. And so I'm kind of stuck to feeding him. He very much could hold it himself, but like he's also my last baby. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to hold this for you. We're going to snuggle and enjoy this. But so that leaves my almost 5-year-old and my 3-year-old just to go rogue during that feeding time. And they know it. And it was really nice this week. Yeah, they were like, can we do the bubbles? And I was like, I'm going to be a fun mom. I was like, sure, just do them on the front porch. That way if you spill, it's like on the front porch, whatever. I feed the baby. I go outside. They have dumped out, in the 20 minutes I was feeding the baby, they dumped out all the bubbles onto the front porch, and they had taken their shoes off and their clothes. They were only in underwear. And they had basically made a slip and slide in the bubble solution on my front porch.
Did you rage?
It was in man's hair. Well, and this is the thing. I'm proud of myself. I did not freak out because honestly, like, this was my bad. Like, I should have foreseen.
I could not have been trusted with those
things. I should have foreseen where this was going. Like, it's not my fault that they got creative out there, you know?
Right. You have to commend their creativity. They were like, we're going to make something fun happen right now.
Right. And here's the thing.
Mom gave us the go-ahead. She handed us the weapons.
She handed us the weapons. But here's the other thing, too. The nice thing is, like, it's bubble, so it's not like it, like, smells gross. And it's not like it's going to ruin my front porch. It's just like they kind of washed my pollen-drenched front porch with bubble solution. It was more just like everyone's sticky, and now I have to like hose you down in the bath before I can like throw you to naps. But I'm very proud of myself. I stayed calm. But that's where it's my mom fail, because it's like this was very much something I could have prevented if I just thought like a little bit harder about like what could have transpired, and I just didn't. But we survived. Yeah. And it gave me an opportunity to throw away all the rest of the bubbles, because I was like, perfect. We can't do bubbles anymore.
Yep. I get that. So I was going to have a Valentine's related one, and then mine actually just happened this morning. So I got a text message that said, your bill is ready to be paid from your OB. And I was like, did I go to the OB?
No, you did not.
My brain is like, no, I didn't. And so I did confirm 10 different ways that I had an OB, my annual appointment, yesterday. And I looked at my calendar. It was there. I had responded to a text. Yes, press 1 to confirm. I responded to the email. I thought, why are they sending me so many confirmations? Because when you become a mom and you have a baby, you lose a large part of your brain that the executive functioning just disappears.
It disappears.
I even thought, like, did I go to that? Like, what are they
charging
me for? You
have no memory of if you had a pap smear or not.
Which would be a traumatic experience.
It would be traumatic.
A very memorable thing. But I was like, wait, when, what? Are they charging me before I've gone? Is this like a pre-bill? I was so confused. And I clicked on it. No show fee. It's like, are you kidding me? So now I have to pay the fee. Now I have to call back and say, and yes, reschedule. You did send me 10 reminders, but I still forgot. It's still right there in my calendar. Happened yesterday.
My bad. And I know something you and I both talked about is how, like, we have talked with our husbands who are very supportive of us in our businesses. And they're both, I would say they're both very hands-on with children. Like, we have really great partners, and I'm super grateful. And I know that's not the case for everyone. But they don't understand the reality of, like, for me to get my annual pap smear, I have to schedule childcare. Like, I have to find a babysitter so someone can shove a metal object into my body and then swab my cervix. You know,
and
like.
And then when you're there, you're like, oh, this is a vacation. There are no kids here with
100%.
Me.
100%. Maybe get a Chick-fil-A lemonade on the drive home. Like, they just don't know the we live on different planets.
Yep.
You know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. My mom had that like coffee table book in 1996. Like, I just remember like reading that and being like, what does this mean? And now I'm like,
and it's still resounding. It's still
I get it. I know. I'm sure it's a bestseller of its time. Okay. And then our last segment is our bestie banter is a Steve Jobs moment. And so this was born because you have a little bit more, because you kind of have more of a marketing background than me. I was a biology.
Wait. Do you mean my marketing background is my first 5 majors in college that I eventually switched out of?
Okay. Yes. I
didn't pass economics a couple times. And so I would say that is not true business experience.
But I'm just saying, like, I was biology pre-med, added in secondary education at like the 9th hour. I never took a business or marketing class or economics or accounting or anything. Like the things that you and I have learned as we've grown our businesses, we always joke and we text each other like, I'm Steve Jobs. I'm in my HTML code of my website right now.
Like, and let's be real. We did learn HTML back in the MySpace days.
I did
change the color on the background or, you know, do some coding to make something bold on my keyboard.
To upload like a background music that would crash every single person's computer when they loaded my page because I had some song playing.
So I think we all have some business experience if we're
that would
honest.
Be my business experience. My MBA was from MySpace. But we have learned so much. And so sometimes you and I will text each other and just laugh because we're like, I'm Steve Jobs right now. I'm literally, look at me, like I'm in, when every time you text me when you're in Zapier, I'm like, you're Steve, your name is Steve.
And if your business, I hope if you're a business owner, you like know what Zapier is because it's like the MVP of all things, but I always feel like Steve Jobs. And so I don't know that we had anything like kind of recently. Have you had anything recently that really made you feel like Steve Jobs?
I haven't, because what I'm working on right now is something like, it's something very much in my wheelhouse. So I don't have a Steve Jobs moment of the week. Do you have one?
A lot of Steve Jobs things are like techie kind of like that's you never found yourself coding something, linking something together, creating like checkout pages and taking money and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think people forget that startup business owners are doing those things. Like
Everything.
You had to learn whether it was like via YouTube or a webinar or a summit or a training. Like I'm like digging around investigative journalists to figure out how to do things. I did just Google last night, like Zapier automation ideas or something. I'm like, there's got to be something that I'm missing out on. I don't know. I think I mentioned to you last week something that made me feel like Steve Jobs. I did an Instagram live with another person recently.
Mm-hmm,
and I was like, I don't know if I'm going to do this right. Everything feels like trial and error when you're being Steve Jobs. You don't know if you're doing it right yet. And I'm sure he felt like that, you know, in his garage tinkering with a computer that wasn't even like really a computer yet.
Literally us just with toddlers like clawing our thighs while we do it. So that's what that segment will be. Like if we have a moment like that, we would love to share it. And I would especially love to hear from our guests, like if they have a Steve Jobs moment of the week or like something that they had to learn to do that they never thought they'd learn to do.
Yeah, it would make them as business owners feel very human to me as like a fellow business owner. I'd be like, okay, it's not just like me and Rebecca who have Steve Jobs moments, but it's every mom business owner who's doing this alongside us.
Exactly. Okay. And so that's our bestie banter. And then we'll also have our business banter. And this is where we'll really hear the story of the guests that we have on and how they built their businesses and how they're managing it all and all of that. So we don't obviously have a guest this first episode. And our next two episodes, we're going to each kind of interview each other so that people listening have context for our businesses. And then hopefully episode 4, we're going to have our first guest. But I thought something that could be fun for this first episode before we wrap up is we made a list of guests that we would love to interview. And
we're going to keep that secret though, right? Like we're going to
take it to the grave.
The list. Okay.
We're going to take it to the grave. But we categorize the guests with an emoji scale, if you will. And so I thought we should share our emoji scale. So first we have the green checkmark emoji. And this is next to every guest that's like someone like we legit know. We have their phone number. They're friends that we have that like have their own businesses that we're pretty sure will say yes if we ask them because we're actually friends.
Yeah, that one feels like a softball pitch. I hope they say yes. I hope they would like to be on here.
100%.
If not, like maybe we'll just nix them, cut them from the friends list. I think that they would really like to be on this podcast if I had to guess.
100%. Okay, well, tell them about the next emoji.
Yeah, the next one is the like smiley emoji with like stars for eyes. So like, you know, you got starry eyes for these people. So people who were somewhat connected to that could say yes. So I'm thinking like people who we DM with maybe like – right? Like we kind of feel like we would be friends in real life. I mean, I guess like all these people.
Like certain people that I've slid into their DMs so many times, like they know me because I have like fangirled. So I'm not in their primary inbox. I'm definitely a general inbox.
No,
but they would see my name.
Primary.
I don't know. I mean, we'll keep it private, but I would say like I feel like there would be name recognition. They would at least like see my name and be like, okay, I think I know who that is. So I feel like we have a chance I really feel like we have a good chance some of those star eye emoji people.
Yeah.
Yeah. The third one would be, it's the green apple, which represents, Teachers Pay Teachers. That's the business. That's the third party marketplace where you and I sell our teacher resources on. So this is like a really specific type of business owner that is in the education sphere. And we are connected to a ton of people like that because that's our community. But it's also very niche. And so we don't want to only interview people who do like what we do, just because we want to interview a variety of business owners, wouldn't you say?
Totally. I am very interested, obviously, in people who are doing similar things to us, and I can always like learn from them. But
yeah,
I'm excited to have like a complete variety. So that is not the focus of our podcast, but that will be a portion of them. Okay, the next one, is it the like square smile, smiling yeah. emoji? Okay,
like your teeth are stuck right together.
Yeah. I like use that one all the time.
Me too.
This would be like, they'd be great to have. We're like, maybe they don't like know us as well, right?
Yeah,
like,
they don't know. And I would say they're very big and they're doing a great job, but they may not be like people that we like super fan follow, but like other people are obsessed with them.
Okay.
So we're like, we want to bring them in because other people want them.
We might not even know them super well.
Exactly. Yeah, and so we're not going to tell them this, but that would be the kind of person that we're kind of like, again, the smile, like we'd be so excited to have them because we know other people would be excited, but you and I, it's not like, which is the next, you know, Kelly, the car mom, who I'm like skull level. So skull level is the skull like, emoji.
Literally
is,
you're dead.
I would
skull
die.
Energy.
If Kelly Stumpy tells me she's coming on this podcast, you will have to bring an AED to my house and resuscitate me for the interview. Okay. That's where I'm at. I love her. I love her. Skull. That's it. But then the next one, the next level is, and then you came up with this emoji. I think you did a great job. This is the angel emoji.
It's like a baby angel.
It's the baby angel. And this is the person, like Kelly would, I would die, but I still feel like I still feel like we have a chance. Like right. It still feels somewhat attainable. The baby emoji is people that are like millions of followers.
Like I'd say, I'm just going to put this one out there. I'd say like Elise Myers. She has like over a million followers. Like she doesn't know. I'm a peon in her universe.
We are peasants. So the baby angel emoji represents we would have died and then come back to life after if they say yes. So this is more like we're in the afterlife if we're interviewing Elise Myers on this podcast.
So like this is like real far away. Don't think it's going to happen, but because my number one strength finder is positivity, I'm believing that maybe it could.
You are.
Like there is a category for it.
I'm not into manifestation at all. Positivity is probably my lowest strength finder, but you're taking us to the baby angel emoji status. Like you're going to carry us there. I really believe it.
Yeah, it wouldn't even be a category if I wasn't a part of this.
Right, exactly. You literally came up with that category for me because I had a lot of them in the skull and you were like, okay, I feel like there's a level higher than skull. And I was like, like what would that be? So that was all you. Okay, so that's our business banter and we're excited. And I guess the other like logistical thing we should say before we sign off is, you know, we are business owners. We know that we should be putting out an episode the same day every week. For a marketing consistency standpoint, that is like the best way to serve your audience. But we just want to be realistic. That's not going to be able to happen because we are going to be fully working around the schedules of the guests we interview. So like our goal is what? 2, maybe 3 episodes a month?
Oh, that's ambitious because also like when do we have time to do that?
100%. I don't
know. Like we each have our own podcast where we put out new episodes every week.
And like, we're not getting paid for this. This is just really for fun. So like, when we are thinking of priorities, this is lower. But we love it and we're so excited. But so we just want to let you know, like, if you're like looking for us every Wednesday.
Which we know you are.
Right. Don't do that. But that's where we really do want to encourage you to follow us wherever you listen to podcasts because that's the only way you're really – that and if you follow like the Momfluencer where I'm going to post about it, like that's where you'll be notified like, oh, we got an interview. Come listen.
Right.
Here's the new stuff.
Right. So make sure you follow. If you enjoyed it, go leave a review. That's how other mom business owners, millennials like you are going to find this podcast because – again, we're not using this as any sort of like marketing tool.
No.
So it's just going to be word of mouth that this thing spreads and blows up because it's going to blow up.
We think it's going to blow up. Really, here's why we want the reviews too. We want the reviews because we got to have something to get these guests on the podcast. And if no one's listening and no one's reviewing the podcast, do you think that we're going to get Elise Myers? Absolutely not. So we need some stats, and that's where you come in.
Credibility.
Like if you want us to interview Elise Myers level people, then we need your help. And so that's where the reviews help. If you do not like the podcast, please do not leave a review.
Just take that with you and never
just
come back.
Just take it with you. You don't even have to DM us and let us know. You don't need to let us know. Just
scurry on away.
Let's part ways.
Carry
now.
On.
Godspeed. So that's it. Did we come up with a sign off yet?
I was thinking something like, love you like a business bestie.
Lilab.
A bestie business owner.
Bestie business owner. But you don't have to be a business owner. You can just be your business bestie, even if you're not.
Yeah. Either love you like a bestie or love you like a business comrade.
Bestie. We're not going to do Lilabs. Lilab. Too much.
Just Lilab. And you can put whatever B in there that you
there
want.
There you go.
Okay. But you just, you know. So
that's the end. Lilab.
Yeah. Lilab. We will see you in the next 2 weeks for our individual business stories where Rebecca will interview me and then I will interview Rebecca. And you'll get to hear a little bit more about how we built our businesses and what we're into now with those.
Woohoo. Can't wait.
Okay. I'll see you next time, Rebecca.
Lilab. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Bestie Business Banter Podcast.
If you like what you hear, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review.
If you have thoughts on the show or the segments you heard today, send us a DM over on the Momfluencer Instagram.
See you next time, Business Bestie.